Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we have some news updates for you across NWSL and an NWSL midweek preview for you all. But before we get into all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube for NWSL extended highlights, exclusive interviews, and our live recaps, and so much more. YouTube.com/AttackingThird. Hit subscribe. It helps us out big time. Content note, we are going to be live on YouTube Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern time to recap Wednesday's midweek matches for NWSL and preview the NWSL weekend ahead. So again, hit subscribe. That helps us out and you'll always get an alert whenever we go live and you can join us in the live chat and let us know how you're feeling. Lisa, it's another one. It's another midweek match that we gotta preview for everybody.
But it's only one. Last week it was four. We had a lot to go through. Only one this week. That's how it's looking for the next few weeks. We got one match on Wednesday, which gives us a little bit of flexibility in this episode to talk about some news, talk about some updates in the league and around the world, which I'm excited about because we haven't been able to do that a lot recently. But yeah, just one match for NWSL and then back at it in the weekend. So this is where, when you look at the standings for the NWSL, it's interesting when you look at like games played and matches in hand, because these Wednesday games and Wednesday match days are what's going to hopefully help even that out a little bit, because five is the most played, with San Diego has that, Racing Louisville, Orlando, but then three, so many teams have only played three games, Chicago, Gotham, North Carolina. So because of that, that really needs to even out a little bit and make the standings a little bit more comparable from one another. So that's what'll happen a little bit as we move on to this, but we've got a lot of news to talk about for sure.
I know. I'm glad you brought that up. It's been a really match heavy schedule as of late. We kicked off this month, obviously with Challenge Cup overlap and then the regular season kicking off. So there hasn't been a chance for us to sit down and be like, let's take a look at some news and chat a little bit about some things that are going on around the league. Kansas City Current staying in the news. We're going to kick off there. They announced a recent hire of Allison Howard as the first president in club history. She will oversee all business operations and report directly to ownership. She is joining the club after a 10-year career with the Los Angeles Lakers. She spent the last 5 years serving as vice president of corporate partnerships. Kansas City co-owner Angie Long saying, if you continue to just do things the same way you've always done them, then not a lot changes. So first person to be hired in this newly kind of created role, I think, in Kansas City Current. They're maybe this is considered a sports hire, right? We saw San Diego Wave make headlines when they started coming into the mix, announcing Jill Ellis as club president, and now Allison Howard for Kansas City Current as club president as well. I think when you have people in this role, I'll say specifically women in this role, I think, you know, it gets a lot of attention, quite frankly, good attention, honestly, when you're looking at people in the role. I mean, 10 years with the Los Angeles Lakers, that's not a little franchise.
No, not at all. I mean, this is a big move. Kansas City has been very vocal that with their ownership that they have, they want to be the best club in the NWSL and really be pave the way for what women's soccer can look like in the United States, because they have their brand new practice facility that's right on the river, $15 million or so. We're seeing glimpses of it on their social media about being built. I know Lola Bonta posted about looking at the facility and the grounds and everything. So they have this entire women's facility that's being built. And yep. Now they hire someone like Allison Howard, who has a great pedigree and a history of getting things done, frankly, like making deals happen, bringing in money for clubs, whether it was the Lakers and now Kansas City Current. But I think this is a great step in the right direction for like Angie, Chris Long, Brittany Matthews. These are people that want to make a difference in the women's soccer community, and they're doing it. And they're not just saying it, they're actually putting action to it. And I think this is another great step for them in hiring Allison Howard.
I also just really like that that you have people with this type of experience taking a look at the National Women's Soccer League and saying, yes, that is a move that I want to make for myself professionally right mm-hmm. now. We're talking about someone who's, like I said, is coming from the Lakers, but was with them for a decade. And the fact that, you know, there has maybe been this perception before that roles within women's professional soccer are perhaps considered what, you know, would be like quote unquote stepping stones. And that's always like really annoying as like for me as someone who's in the space and kind of committed to this space in a different way and perhaps and maybe others perceive it. And I've always hated that, you know, just sort of seeing that being like, no, like this is like this is a real thing that is being built that is, you know, should be taken seriously. And when you announce a hire like this and then you sort of go through the background of some of these people and you see it's like, wow, like, okay, so a decade with an NBA franchise and not just any NBA franchise, but the Lakers, and seeing a person and having this role and them saying, yes, this is absolutely a league, a place, a role, a profession that I want to continue to be in and grow and develop. And it was cool to see in the release that, you know, obviously there's been a lot of conversations privy to announcing this hire. But, you know, I love that she has a lot of enthusiasm for things already, mentioning that the stadium facility that they're going to be building already. That's so very clearly one of the big picture points, you know, in their overall vision. And I love that. Just sounds like she's locked in and ready to get rolling for the Current here. Let's take a look at some other news though from Angel City. This one I know we're excited about, Lisa. We were chatting a little bit off mic about it and we were like so excited to be able to talk about this, and we were so happy that this dropped before we got together to record. But Angel City announcing a two-year partnership with the Liga MX Femenil side Tigres Femenil. It is the first NWSL partnership with Liga MX Femenil. It's a two-year partnership. It's going to be feature first cross-border relationship of its kind between clubs in North America's two biggest women's soccer league. And the partnership is going to include two friendlies. So the first one is going to be held this year in LA at Bank of California Stadium on August 10th. And the second one will have a date and a time announced, but that will be taking place in 2023. And Tigres are going to host that one in Monterrey, Mexico.
I love this partnership. This is the first of its kind between an NWSL team and a Liga MXA team. But it's not the first time that NWSL has played Mexican teams, because we know that Houston has done that in years past. Most recently, they did it in this preseason leading up to the 2022 year. But this partnership that will span 2 years, of course, it's centered around the game, which is pretty cool, because there are going to be two friendlies, one in LA and one in Mexico, which allows fans to LA fans and American fans to see this Mexican team and be able to see these players and what they're doing and help grow that league. And also when Angel City travels to Mexico to play them, then it just grows the NWSL, grows the game overall. It's really pretty cool to see. And besides just the game and focusing on that, one of the press releases mentioned that there's going to be other activities like best practices in sport, business, social responsibilities. But the major focus is the community impact during these events and during these games, engaging with fans, having community groups, engaging with local soccer clubs. This is how we grow the game. This is exactly it, by having partnerships across leagues, across countries. This is huge. And it brings familiarity for the players and the fans and everyone across the two countries and the continent.
Yeah. And honestly, it's just, quite frankly, it's showing a level of respect, you know.
Really?
Liga MX Femenil is a young league. It's only in its sixth or seventh season. But there has been teams and development amongst players out there that have, you know, has grown pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at just this franchise specifically at Tigres Femenil, you're talking about a club that has already won 4 league championships within this very young league. And we have seen something growing over the course of more recent years. And there has been these small kind of mini tournaments within an NWSL season. We've seen the women's ICC taking place usually in August. And then we saw the inaugural the Women's Cup take place, hosted by Racing Louisville. And that's also going to continue in 2022 as well. They have opened and expanded that competition and have acknowledged and invited a team in Club America to represent Liga MX Femenil in that mini tournament. But prior to this year, in years prior, as some of these things were getting founded, there was no inclusion of any Liga MX Femenil teams. And when I know with the ICC, some of the criteria is that it has to be a championship winning side to be included and involved. Mm-hmm. Well, Tigres Femenil has been winning championships for the last several years, you know, and they're not involved in that. So it's always been some combination of Portland, who has been very competitive, or North Carolina, who have won the ICC as well. Houston Dash got invited to them winning the Challenge Cup in 2020. Barcelona has featured, Lyon has featured, and this year will feature Chelsea and Barcelona as the European sides entering the fray. But you were talking about, for me, that was something that that kind of resonated with me. I was like, well, this is not just really, really cool, but there's a certain level of acknowledgement and respect here from Angel City, saying like, listen, this is one of the best leagues in the world, and it's right next door to us. And let's engage in this. Let's make it official. Essentially, let's make this partnership official. It was a great point that you brought up about Houston Dash being a team that has already played a number of Liga MX Femenil teams at some point. They've played Tigres before. They've gone to Mexico to play Tigres before. They've played Rayadas in Monterrey as well. And then we talked a little about this preseason with Club America. But you know, there wasn't anything that was like actually, you know, written or presented or put in paper. And now I think maybe this is an official 2-year partnership. They know they're going to have games over the next 2 years and a lot of other great events surrounding the two matches. But I think if, depending on the success of this, which I think it will be very successful, that could lead and open the door to a longer, more extended partnership.
Oh, completely. I'm constantly impressed with Angel City and what they're trying to build, what they are building in Los Angeles and growing the soccer community. I mean, this started 2 years ago when they announced all their investors and their ownership, and now the product that they've been able to put out on the pitch. And as an expansion club that's still trying to get their footing and make sure that they are standing on even ground in the NWSL, they're already reaching out to other leagues and trying to offer support and build that partnership. I think it's huge. The confidence from Angel City is there and it's spreading. And I like to see that.
Yeah. And I love that there's more partnerships that are being worked out with the league that exists right next door to the United States, and that it's another franchise now, because already for a handful of seasons, it's typically just been Houston Dash that have been engaging with Liga MX Femenil clubs to try to get these experiences for their players in the NWSL. But now we've got Angel City involved in this as well. And not just involved, but like I said, just taking it very seriously and showing a certain level of respect in terms of kind of formalizing everything. Mm-hmm. And they're a franchise that have had their eye on Liga MX Femenil since they got announced as an expansion city, and then kind of putting their money where their mouth is, signing a player like Stephanie Ferreira van Ginkel, who had spent time in Tigres Femenil. So, you know, this it almost isn't too surprising, but that doesn't make it any less cool by any means. So I love that this got announced, and I'm very, very excited to see what takes place between these two teams in August. Maybe we'll have to try to do our best to include that maybe like in our previewing of August matches as well. We've got more news to talk about this time on the United States Women's National Team side of things. Time 100 most influential people have listed the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team and their fight for equal pay as part of the 100 most influential people. Becky Sauron, Megan Rapinoe, and Alex Morgan sort of being the faces of the overall team in this one. But the team as a whole and their inclusion on this list, it was dope to see that. Another cool thing to see kind of drop on the timeline as well.
Very cool. They talked about how this fight in time, they talked about how this fight started 6 years ago, and these are the faces that have been leading it, and then coming to a point just 2 weeks ago that they won. They were able to win equal pay, settle on a CBA, and now being honored. So not just as athletes. That's the cool part, right? We've seen times influential people be athletes that have won World Cups and done pretty incredible things on the athletic fields or courts. But the fact that Becky Sauron, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, and the U.S. national team are being honored for their fight in the courtroom is pretty cool, pretty special, because it's becoming a bit more than the sport that is still affecting the play on the pitch for equal pay.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, I think we're starting to see now just kind of perhaps the capping off or the other cherry on top, I guess, of some of this very, very long extended fight. And quite frankly, you know, this team deserved those spoils and those victories. The cover or a place in Time Magazine is part of that. It's not any less overwhelming for me to think about the last several years and what we witnessed this team do. I mean, they won 2 World Cups. They've participated in Olympic Games, walked away with a bronze medal. And in between all this, you know, engaging in an open lawsuit with their employer while finding all of this success on the pitch and seeing the public reaction to that. I'll never forget hearing all the chants of equal pay in these like ridiculously filled, packed stadiums across the world. Quite frankly, it wasn't just here in the United States. You know, it was during, you know, the World Cup, and it was just it's just incredibly moving, and it's just like a very historical thing that I'm not sure a lot of us who were just kind of bearing witness to have understood the weight of it. It's very heavy in the best of ways, and it is a really nice feeling to sort of be able to look at this and talk about it as something that's been resolved in a really good way, and I love it. I love to see it. Crystal Dunn. We got to talk about Crystal Dunn, everybody. Crystal Dunn, welcome to little baby boy. The family has grown by one more, because it's a family that's been an animal family. They've had cats, they've had chickens, and now they've got a little baby boy named Marcel Jean Sobrier. Excuse me, my French is not great. I did my best, but I'm loving that that her and her husband Pierre have gone ahead and shared a couple photos. It's very nice of them to allow the public in and get a glimpse. And if you are watching us on YouTube, we've got a great photo there for you to take a look at. I love the name. I love the kind of safari kind of theme that they're going with the giraffes. Very, very cute, but adorable. It's so wild to think that we were like doing preview segments and taking a look at preseasons for NWSL clubs, and we saw Crystal Dunn participating through her pregnancy during this time, and now baby Marcel is here. So congrats to Crystal Dunn and her whole entire family on the new addition. You love to see it.
It is so exciting. So happy for Crystal, her husband, baby boy coming home. It's very exciting. And yeah, Sandra, you mentioned it. We've known Crystal Dunn's been pregnant, right? She just had her baby, but she was still training what seemed like daily with the Portland Thorns, competing. So I'm surprised Marcel didn't come out, you know, already kicking a soccer ball or running around or something, because Crystal was outshining and overperforming as an incredible female athlete who was pregnant, carrying a child. That was incredible to see. She's an inspiration, training up until she gave birth. And her plan is to be back this year, right? I mean, she's been pretty vocal about that, coming back on the pitch. But Crystal, enjoy being a mom. Spend some time with your baby. I love to see that. Best wishes to them. And enjoy your new life. Very exciting.
Right, I'm sure we'll get some more updates on Marcel. That's the other fun thing that happens when we see some of these athletes become parents, right? We see more updates from the kids. Like I think with Sydney LaRue, I think her son is Cassius is now like 5 or so, yeah. And is already like, she still gives updates and go ahead she puts some really funny stuff out there in her personal social. I'm sure we're going to go ahead and see some more from that. But that's it for the news portion of the episode right now. We're going to be back after a quick break to preview Ole Reign versus Kansas City Current.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ole Reign versus Kansas City Current, the one game midweek action this week for NWSL. A little bit different from last week, Lisa. We had to go through a number of games for the first midweek action of the season, but just one focal point for us this week. It's going to be Laura Harvey's Ole Reign versus Matt Potter's Kansas City. This one's kicking off at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can find this one on Twitch. When we're looking at these two teams, Lisa, I think the biggest thing that's standing out right now, probably the most obvious, is that these are two teams in the regular season that are still on the hunt for a win. So
very surprising as two teams that made it to the semifinal of the Challenge Cup. They both won their regions, respectively,
and
yet to take a win home in the regular season.
So I'm going to ask you, you pointed it out. Are you looking at a winner in this match? Who is it and why?
I am looking at a winner. I don't think this one will end in a draw. This is hard, though, because these two sides, I mean, both looking for a win, but this is just the second time that Kansas City is actually playing in Washington State and their very first time going to Lumen Field. And that's it. That's hard for a Kansas City side to do, to go there and play that. When we look a little bit deeper at Ole Reign, I mean, they have a lot of good players, great goalkeeper, but they haven't been able to find the back of the net consistently and enough. That's been their biggest struggle right now. And Kansas City, they can score. They can find ways to score. They have different ways of that, but can they keep other teams off the board? Their defense is one that's been having some struggles. They committed an own goal last weekend against Angel City that ended up being the game winner for Angel City, and Kansas City ends up losing that match. But without that, and without some really great saves by Didi Haricic, I think Kansas City could have really won that game against Angel City. Sorry, I almost just sneezed. This is a live recording for everyone.
Bless you in advance.
Thank you. I'm going to try not to. But like a goalkeeper like Fallon Tullis-Joyce, she leads goalkeepers right now in the NWSL with 21 saves. Rose Lavelle leads the Reign with 11 shots, six of them on target, but they can't find the back of the net. Kansas City, they have a lot of young, good rookies that are being very influential. Elise Bennett, Alex Luera, Jenna Weinbrenner. I think Elizabeth Ball has done tremendous. Victoria Pickett has done a really nice job in the midfield. Victoria Pickett almost plays a little bit similar to Rose Lavelle. I mean, they're not the same player by any means, but in the terms of picking up the ball in the midfield and running, taking the space in front and just attacking with the ball at their feet. Both players like to dribble with the ball into the attacking spaces. I know we have to get to picks. Kansas City, OL Reign. I want there to be a winner in this one. I've gone back and forth.
I think
Kansas City can get a win. I know.
All right, Lisa.
It's a little surprising, but if this regular season has shown us anything, it's that surprises can happen. And Kansas City, they were dealt with a bit of a COVID protocol last week, missing some big players, not entirely sure of their availability. That's in terms of Lo Labonta. Hugh Williams, head coach, wasn't at the game for Angel City. So those are also factors that come into play. Yeah. And I don't know that availability at this point right now. That could change things as well. If Lo Labonte is there, Hugh Williams is at the game, I think Kansas City definitely takes the win.
All right. I like it. I think some people might listen to this and say consider that perhaps maybe like a bold pick, you know, but yeah. I think you've presented some good cases, some good arguments here for Kansas City. I do feel you though on the availability report. Of course, we're recording this at a time where that hasn't been publicly released as of yet, so we don't have any additional information on that at the moment. But I think it's going to depend on some things there. How much time has passed? What does the protocol look like for certain players? Are certain players going to be back? But are certain players still going to be left on? And I mean, these aren't just some of these players who were out aren't just, you know, depth players for Kansas City. We're talking about a huge Lo Labonte sized hole for Kansas City that was missing in their previous match. You know, what is that going to look like in a game like this against a team like the Reign? So I just, you know, I have been going back and forth in this one, and I told myself that I gave myself the challenge that I didn't want to choose a draw in this one because part of the storylines around it. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I came on attacking third and said, hey, here are two teams that are in search for their first win, and I don't think they're going to get it still.
Which is very possible.
It's anything is possible. It's NWSL, right? So I'm like, but you know, like similar to you going bold and picking a team, I'm going to be bold as well, right? Maybe that's a hint in terms of who I'm going with, but I'm going to go with OL on this one. I'm looking at the Reign. And we're coming towards the end of May here. So we're going to be clocking in a full month of NWSL action very, very soon. And something that we have to look at with this Reign side is perhaps maybe some of their underperformance in front of net. We're watching a lot of great things unfold on the pitch for this team. Rose Lavelle has been cutting things up on the field. But when we look at some of her stats, you know, is underperforming her XG, her expected goals value right now at the moment. And it's not, something isn't translating, I guess is what I'm trying to say at the moment for this OL Reign side. And especially when we look at some of these numbers after the matches from them, even perhaps their most recent game, or their most recent two game, whether it was that scoreless draw against Portland Thorns
and Washington Spirit,
or now a scoreless draw against the Washington Spirit. Where, you know, each of those teams, the Portland game, you're talking 17 shots and I believe a handful or so plus of attempts on target. And then this one against the Spirit, 20 total shot attempts, 8 attempts on target, nothing in the back of the net. And it's you're seeing those numbers. And the thing that sticks out to me right away is it's not for lack of effort, because the numbers are telling the story that it's there. It's just that clinical finish is just lacking right now for this team. And it's hard to gauge if it's a combination of maybe if something's not working tactically, or if the other combination is just, quite frankly, their snake bit, which is a thing that can happen sometimes for teams early in NWSL season. This is not something that's unfamiliar, I think, for teams in the league. And I really don't think it's unfamiliar for teams who are considered the good teams, quote unquote, those top elite teams, are the teams that you see in the playoffs or have big names on the roster in the early weeks of the season. It's definitely not unfamiliar, but it is something that is catching my eye right now. And I don't think it's unfair to maybe bring up right now if we're looking at this Oil Rain side and saying, we had considered them picked pretty early to be what is considered contenders in this 2022 season. And they're having struggles in front of goal. And there's too many great attacking pieces for that to be happening right now. But in this game, Lisa, I think perhaps it could be the game to turn things around. And I'm not saying it's going to be some type of ridiculous lopsided scoreline, but I do believe the Rain are going to be able to pick up a win against Kansas City.
I like that you went with the Rain. I like that we're going on separate sides here. Oil Rain just, they cannot score. When we look back to the last match, I'm going to call players out right now. Allie Watt had 3 chances that she needed to put away. Great breakaways where they got in behind Washington's back line. They went on goal, and it's almost as if Watt slowed down. She stopped running. She was waiting for the defense to catch up to her, the defense to track back and get in front of her and stop her and then block her shot instead of going full force. You have a step on your opposition. On a breakaway, you need to keep pushing. It's almost like they lose all of their energy and their enthusiasm when they get to the final third of the field, because defensively, Oil Rain has been really good in the midfield. They are able to control, but the final piece in the attacking end is not there. And we also don't know. We talked a lot about availability report in terms of Kansas City with their COVID protocol, but Bethany Balser, forward for Oil Rain, went out in that game with a bit of an injury, wobbling around. She came off the field with the help of a trainer. She wasn't walking fully on her own. We don't know Bethany Balser's availability, and that's a huge loss. That's a huge attacking piece loss, a goal scorer for Oil Rain that's now out of the mix, and we don't know if she's in or not. But I think when it comes down to the small margins and capitalizing on mistakes, we've seen Kristen Hamilton do that for Kansas City. We've seen young rookies in Elise Bennett and Alex Loera step up and create things out of nothing. We know set piece opportunities for Alex Loera are really good. She can put those away. They're good on set pieces. Kristen Edmonds has done a nice job all over the pitch. Desiree Scott in the midfield can defensively hold things down for Kansas City. AD French in goal has consistency that can stop an Oil Rain team that I'm sticking with Kansas City.
I like it. That's the other side of it too, where I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I came on here and said neither of these teams are going to get their first win still, because I was looking at the goalkeepers as well. You bring up Beatty French. I mean, we got to talk about Fallon Tillis Joyce. It's just, there are two very good, more than capable keepers who are going to be manning the nets for these two sides. So there's a possibility that these score lines could be low in this match. I'm not, you know, saying that that's not a possibility. I just hope that there is a winner in this one, and we can continue to chat about that when we have to go ahead and recap the match. But we'll see. I think if this one turns into, I'm curious to see if the Rain will make you know, any type of tactical adjustments. Is this a Kansas City current side that the Reign will look at and say, maybe we'll sit back a little bit and try to be a little more transitional and counter? Maybe that's something that they can do to try to spearhead things. I don't see that happening. Laura Harvey has never struck me as the type of a coach to hit a panic button by any means. But you want to maybe try to take a look at some different things to get those goals in the back of the net, something to sort of shake things up and maybe perhaps, you know, kind of spearhead the goal scoring. Maybe you have to change things around a little bit before you continue to commit with things in terms of your regular style play. But I doubt it. I wouldn't be surprised if we still see the team committed to their process and, you know, committed to trying to just go ahead and get one in the back of the net. But I would love to see it because you're going Kansas City and I'm going Reign. I would love for us to come on back here and talk about how we were right or how we were wrong. But we'll see. Midweek action Wednesday, the 25th, 10 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Thank you all so much for joining us on Attacking Third and listening along to our news and notes and previews. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram now at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us. Visit youtube.com/Attacking Third. If you have questions for us, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and we'll answer it during a mailbag segment. And we'll be back with more on Wednesday for a recap. And we'll be back on Thursday for a live recap of all of these, the matches, all one of them, Lisa. For Sandra Rita and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's
okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.